Hey people, this is the first episode of Kevo and Heidi's Disney Over Coffee. I'm Heidi.
And I'm Kevin.
And we kind of wanted to do this podcast just really for fun and see who listens, you know. But we definitely wanted to start off with a movie that we enjoyed versus going in chronological order, because Disney has a lot of movies and a lot of the early ones people didn't really like, including myself. So,
well, I'm too young for all those.
I'm too young. Okay. We won't tell people how old we are. So why did we want to start with Treasure Planet, Kev?
With Treasure, why did I want to start it?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I was just going to say the story. Just one that I picked.
Mm-hmm. So, does Treasure Treasure Planet hold a special place in your heart?
Does it hold a... I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it holds a special place in my heart. I mean, it's just like any other typical science fiction and fantasy mm-hmm. story.
It's definitely one of the most underrated Disney films, I think.
You think it's most underrated?
I really do. I think when people think of Disney, people don't automatically think of Treasure Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, because I thought it was really, really good. The story was good. The drawing and the animation was really cool. But mm-hmm. maybe it just didn't, you know, hit because it didn't have songs and it didn't have princesses. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. It did not have any kind of princesses or anything like that.
There were no princes or princesses.
Mm-hmm.
There was no breaking into song, if you will. But there was music. Very good soundtrack.
That's the first, one of the first things you said.
That's one of the,
you liked the soundtrack.
The soundtrack was good. I really liked the soundtrack. So, yeah, people might not, you know, agree, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great play on the book, Treasure Island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, except instead of an island, it's a planet. It's a whole planet.
I can't tell you that.
Out in space.
I've never actually read Treasure Island.
You never read it?
No, I haven't. It's on my list of things to read.
I read it a long time ago. I'll have to try it again.
Did you like it?
Well, it was like a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I have it. I do. So that'll be like part two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and for you listeners who don't know, we're married, so there's a lot of, like, you know, romance in the air, if you will.
Romance in the air. But
yeah, so.
But no, I really didn't. I liked it. Instead of the sea, you have
space.
Space. So instead of sailors, they're spacers, and I thought that was really cool. And I really did enjoy the fact that you know, they tried to keep it you know, actually. Pirate ships, mm-hmm. like in space.
But in space, I thought it was amazing. Really liked it. Did you get Sinbad vibes from it? Because I did.
Sinbad vibes?
Yes.
No. There's no Sinbad vibes.
I like the movie Sinbad. Now, Sinbad, of course, is DreamWorks, but I thought it was good. And they have portions of, like, constellations and monsters coming out. I liked it.
Yeah, but it wasn't in space.
I mean, that's true. That is true. Okay, so Treasure Planet came out in 2002. With a nod to Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island, of course. This animated feature follows 15-year-old Jim Hawkins' amazing journey across a fantasy universe as a cabin boy aboard a glittering solar galleon RLS Legacy. Directed by John Musker and Ron Clements, simultaneously in regular and large screen theaters after world premiere on November 6th. Voices include Martin Short, which is Ben, Emma Thompson as Captain Amelia, Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Jim, and Brian Murray as John Silver. Now, I picked up Martin Short right away, but that's just because I'm a really big fan of Martin Short.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think he's hilarious, so I picked it up right away. This was the first animated feature where the backgrounds were all painted in the computer, while most of the characters were drawn by hand. John Silver was a complicated blend of hand-drawn and computer animation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he was a cyborg.
And so I like the way they drew him,
mm-hmm.
you know? But we'll definitely talk about, you know, how we feel about the characters. But, so we start off with a narrator telling us the particular story of Captain Flint and his raids.
Raids across the universe.
Mm-hmm.
The loot of a thousand planets.
Now, I picked up the fact that sounded like John Cod Frollo from Hunchback to me. Probably the same guy.
Oh, you think it was? Oh, it probably was.
Frollo.
Uh-huh. I bet you if we the look same it narrator. Up, I bet you. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Jim is reading this book when his mom comes in, and they start to kind of have a little encounter. You can kind of begin to see how close Jim is with his mom. And then we fast forward to 12 years later to Jim being a little bit of a hooligan.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't know his place in the world.
Okay. So you like Jim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just a young kid. Okay. He don't know what he want to do.
Okay. So I kind of went at it with I didn't like Jim at first.
What? No, he's just your typical,
I get it.
He's a typical young kid who he doesn't have a path. He's thrust into this. One thing that you will notice, mm-hmm. and not just in this one, but in any real mm-hmm. real big story, is that typically it's a young kid. Mm-hmm. He either has a direction that he wants to go, but he's scared to go, mm-hmm. or he doesn't have a direction and he's getting in trouble, yeah. like Jim Hawkins, and then he's thrust into a situation, something that says, "Now you will go out and do great things." Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, again, it's mm-hmm. typical. So but when I saw that, I was like, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, look at this kid doing these crazy mm-hmm. things.
With his cool little haircut and his earrings.
Oh, heck yes. mm-hmm. That's how it starts, with the cool, slick hair, and then it just goes from there.
Yeah, okay. Well, we see that Jim's mom is the owner of the Bimbo Inn, right?
I think it's the Bimbo Inn.
Bimbo? Not Bimbo.
I don't think it was Bimbo.
Bimbo? I don't think it was Bimbo.
Maybe they unintentionally did it so that way people like us can say that.
Okay. But yeah, but the fact that Jim was on probation when he gets caught by these robot cops mm-hmm. and Gilbert is in the inn having dinner, it looks like, when this happens, and he tries to help him out and say, hey, you know, mm. I can vouch for this kid. He's actually not all that bad.
Yeah. Well, Gilbert, is just a friend of the family. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing, another thing that I do like about this movie is how they have all these different humanoid, mm-hmm. you know, humans. They have these aliens. And so, like, Gilbert, robots. You know, he's this doctor, like not a medical doctor, dog.
Dog.
Dog person thing.
With floppy ears. Cute. Yeah, but so...
oh, yeah, I think he's an astronomer.
Yes.
Yeah, he's an astronomer.
Yes, because he's very, very smart. But the fact that, obviously, Jim doesn't seem like he actively wants to be a burden to his mom, but, you know, it just kind of happens. But this ship crashes, and there is apparently this, like, turtle-looking...
That's what I thought. I'm thinking
he looks like a turtle.
Alien turtle.
Alien turtle, yeah. Pirate, who just happens to have this sphere... And Jim's able to get it before he
well,
looks like...
the pirate is, yes. is Bones, Billy Bones.
Billy Bones,
so
yes.
So you remember from the book, you know, he's trying to escape John Silver, you know, and so he's dying and everything
yeah,
like
right
that.
Yeah, right over
and,
my head,
and he gives
I didn't read
Jim
it.
Hawkins, he gives Jim Hawkins the map, but the map in this one, since it's in space, it's a sphere mm-hmm. that holds like a digital map of the universe that mm-hmm. shows where...
Where the loot.
Where the loot of is. A thousand yes. planets is.
Mm-hmm. But they don't really get too much time to look into this yet, though, because pirates attack.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole inn goes up in flames.
Yeah, it goes up in flames. Very and sad. It's very obscure. You don't actually see any of
you
the pirates.
You don't see you know, anybody.
They're
exactly.
very shadowed.
That was on purpose.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah. It was definitely on purpose because you're not supposed to know. You're not supposed
who
to know.
Is. Yes.
Who are these?
Who are the pirates?
Pirates.
But they do find the map, and Jim decides that he wants to go to Treasure Planet to be able to get, obviously, enough money to give back to his mom to rebuild the inn. And Gilbert volunteers to go with him.
Well, Jim, this should be a wonderful opportunity for the two of us to get to know one another. You know what they say, familiarity breeds, contempt. But in our case...
Look, let's just find the ship, okay?
Second berth on your right!
You can't miss it.
Hey, thanks.
It's the suit, isn't it? I should never have listened to that pushy, two-headed saleswoman. This one said it fit, that one said it was my color. I didn't know what to do. I get so flustered. Ooh.
So they hire a crew and a ship, and they set sail. But obviously, from the get-up, we get the feeling from Captain Amelia that... the crew doesn't look too reliable.
Well, yeah. So Gilbert actually, he hires the essentially, from what I'm getting, is he hires the crew and then the captain that's going to captain the ship and the crew separately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which, I mean, I don't know.
That is really weird to me.
To me, that's kind of weird. You know, I mean, obviously, they did it to make sure that the story
moved forward. You
know, moved forward and everything like that. So you definitely have, you know, the captain and the crew are separate. They don't know each other. And she doesn't trust the crew. I wouldn't trust the crew either with any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Is it because they looked all scary? Like, there was a spider. There was a big old dude with, like, four arms.
Man, that's immediately, I already knew that, because that's what Disney does. Disney makes the bad guys
ugly.
You know, they look ugly. They look bad.
Silver looks bad.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the things I was telling you was when we were watching it, that Silver looks like a bad guy. So the fact that Jim was so willing to trust him is interesting to me. But it could be the fact that I think he's looking for someone to be like a father figure to him because of his past and everything that's happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
But so Jim becomes a cabin boy to the cook, who's played by Silver character. And he basically teaches him how to be a sailor, or not a sailor. What do they call it?
To be a spacer.
A spacer.
Yeah, not a sailor. A spacer.
Not a sailor.
Yeah, teach him how to be a spacer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now obviously the whole time that they're going along, the crew is actually the pirates that hunted down Billy Bones but they couldn't get the map, and so mm-hmm. you know they were able to figure out that it was that the individual Jim Hawkins who has the map hired this crew, and they were able to do it. So
do they know that it's Jim, or do they think that it's the captain?
Ooh, you know what?
The captain has the map and not Jim, because he's a kid.
Because I mean, if you think about it, you know, do you think that the captain would have been there at that moment?
Mm-hmm.
To me, you know, all it would take is just a quick, you know, hey, talk to the townspeople.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whose inn was that? Oh, well, that was Mrs. Hawkins and
okay, boy. That's a good point there.
Yeah.
So maybe they would just connect the dots and figure out that it was Jim. So, but Silver meets with the crew, essentially giving it away that he's working with the crew on something. We don't know exactly what yet, but they're working and plotting on things. And then we get a montage of Jim on the ship.
Yeah, Jim on the ship, learning how to be a
spacer. I love a good montage, especially when the song is great.
Yeah, what song? I bet you wrote it down.
I did not, actually.
You didn't write it down.
I didn't write the song down, but I'll just probably insert it here.
Yeah.
Put some elbow into it.
I am a question to the world, not an answer to the earth. You'd ever say, I won't listen anyway. You don't know me, and I'll never be what you want me to be.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously at first,
does not like having to take orders.
Yeah, John Silver, his whole goal is to just wait until the right moment to mutiny so that way he can take over the ship, take over the map. But, mm-hmm. you know, in so doing this in this time period, and obviously because it's
Disney.
It's not just Disney, just movies in general. Obviously, most movies you can't really sit here unless you want to have like an 8-hour movie.
That's true.
You know, they try to portray that a long period of time has happened. I mean, they're traversing the universe here to this planet,
mm-hmm.
but you know, over time John Silver actually begins to love this boy, you know, like a father-son type of relationship. And so that's now he's almost conflicted on mutinying and, you know, essentially killing the captain, taking, you know, killing Jim, killing Gilbert and taking over the ship. Like he still wants to take over the ship, but now there's this boy in feelings, the way.
There's feelings involved, and he actually starts to care for this boy. Mm-hmm. So I like that, though. It's definitely one of those things where you don't actually think that this pirate would actually start to have positive feelings towards another person. So the ship ends up getting caught up in a supernova, and then it turns into a black hole, and this is where things start to heat up. Mr. Arrow gets pushed off, essentially, or does his rope snap?
No. Well, so one of Jimbo's duties is to make sure that whenever, you know, the crew needs to be up in the, I should have looked up like sailing terms and stuff, mm-hmm. like that. But when they're up in the rafters, rigging, the rigging and yes. everything like that, he secures their lifelines, you know, just a rope that they put around their waist, and it's secured to the deck, mm-hmm. of the ship. And so while this supernova is happening, while this black hole is developing, you know, he goes there, he makes sure everybody's stuff is everybody's lifelines are secured, and you know he does it, you know, perfectly. But one of the pirates,
the one that looks like a spider.
Yeah, the one that looks like a spider. His name, I might have to look it up, but I think it's a Scourge or something like that. He's a bad guy. While they were opening the rigging, he took Mr. Archer, who's the second in command. Mm.
I thought it was Mr. Arrow.
Is it Mr. Arrow? Maybe.
That's what I thought.
Oh, yes, Mr. Arrow. He's like a rock type humanoid.
Oh yeah, he does look like a rock.
Yeah.
Big old rock.
He cuts his lifeline, and so while they're escaping the black hole, you know, he falls in and he dies.
Very sad.
And
very sad.
And so, you know, he pretty much made it look like, once they were able to escape the black hole, he made it look as though
it was an accident.
Jim Hawkins didn't he didn't do his job right. He, mm-hmm. didn't secure everybody's lifeline. And so that's kind of what everybody believes now. Well, not everybody. The captain and Jim and Albert, or Albert Gilbert, you know, think that, oh no, he messed up. I mean, if right. you think about it.
But even if he had messed up, it's not something that I would think was intentional.
No, well, yeah, it wasn't. I mean, if you think about it, they're getting sucked into a black hole.
It's pretty and
stressful. out of all of these, out of all the crew, one guy didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, even if this wasn't like a murder, which that's what it was, you know, he just ended up not actually securing Mr. Arrow's Arrow's lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, in my mind, you know, yeah, that sucks, but you know,
hey. He's just a kid.
Yeah, he's just a kid. It's his first voyage. He was getting sucked into a black hole.
I mean, it's a pretty stressful situation.
Yeah, pretty stressful situation.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, he definitely felt like as though he was useless and everything like that.
I can see that, though, because he worked so hard up to this point. We got the montage. He's working really hard.
Yeah, we got the montage. He's a professional now.
But we get the moment where he's like, I really thought that I was starting to get things right. Doing things right, and now somebody's dead,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to blame myself. It's pretty sad when you think about it. That's hard. But anyway, the crew starts to confront Silver about his feelings towards Jim, and Jim overhears this when he's hiding inside one of the barrels, and you can kind of tell that he's completely hurt by this.
Yep. Yeah, he's shocked. He's hurt. You know, here he is. He thinks he essentially has almost like a family, right? You know, he's starting to feel, even though, yeah, he does feel bad that, you know, he essentially thinks that he killed Mr. Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he feels accomplished. He feels like he's doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he's, you know, he realizes he's been betrayed.
Bamboozled.
He's been bamboozled.
Someone he thought was his friend. Mm-hmm. Turns out he's actually a pretty bad guy. And they're just waiting for the right moment, which turns out to be sooner rather than later. And so they end up taking over the ship. And Silver has this moment where he could shoot Jim, but chooses not to.
Yeah, yeah. While the captain, while Gilbert and Jim are trying to escape with the map, because at this point, they've made it to Treasure Planet, mm-hmm. which I don't remember exactly what the name of it was called, because they didn't know that this was the actual
Treasure Planet.
Treasure Planet.
It was something else.
It was just called something else. But, you know, they were able to get into one of the, what did they call them? Skiffs that they have. And, he had them line of sight, ready to go, but he couldn't do it because, mm-hmm. you know, because of his feelings.
Feelings, because people in movies have feelings. If it was this real life situation, he probably would have just shot him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Man, it's real life. There would have been no more Jimbo.
Yep. But anyway, the captain and Jim and Gilbert crash land on the planet, and they find Ben. The robot.
Well, Ben finds them.
Ben finds them, yes.
So, what was it? What does Ben stand for?
I can't remember what it was.
He was Captain Flint's navigator.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's been essentially stranded on this
planet. For who knows how long.
For, you know.
A very long time.
At least like 100 years. I can't remember.
It has to be something like that.
Can't remember exactly.
Because we later find Flint's body, and it's like mm-hmm. bones, so.
Oh, this is fantastic. A carbon-based life form come to rescue me at last.
I just want to
hug you and squeeze you and hold you close to me.
All right. Oh. Can you just let go of me?
Sorry. It's just, I've been marooned for so long. I mean, solitude's fun. Don't get me wrong. For heaven's sakes, after 100 years, you go a little nuts. I'm sorry. My name is.
Ben.
Of course, I'm Ben, the bioelectronic navigator.
Oops.
And you are?
Jim.
Oh, what a pleasure to meet you, Jimmy.
It's Jim.
Anyway, look, I'm kind of in a hurry,
So he's a little kooky. He's a little kooky, man. And, you know, and there we go. Here it is. Ben, bioelectronic navigator.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's definitely a funny character because he's crazy. I mean, he's been marooned and alone for so long.
Yeah.
He's missing his primary memory. Know, his mind.
Yeah.
He literally lost his mind. You know. And so with that, Jim was able to find a place for them to kind of, you know, hide out.
Mm-hmm. Well, because also Captain Amelia got hurt during the mutiny. So she's actually pretty weak at this point. And so Gilbert kind of stays with her to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
While Ben and Jim go and continue to try to at least find some sort of, you know, because the crew, John Silver's crew, has caught up to them. But somehow they end up raising the white flag, and Silver and Jim are able to start working together to find the treasure.
Well, not yet.
Well.
Not yet. Yeah, we're not at that point yet. Yeah, they try to negotiate because one thing we forgot to say is, so in the book, John Silver has a parrot, mm-hmm. right? Well, in Treasure Planet, he doesn't have a parrot. He has a little blob.
A morph.
And his name's Morph, and he can, like, you know, change. He can change his appearance. You know, kind of think of a Ditto from a Pokemon, you know, mm-hmm. kind of think like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right, so he pretended to be the map.
Yeah, so when they were trying to escape, yes. after the mutiny, Morph got a hold of the sphere, the map, mm-hmm. and
made himself look like
the real one is still on the main ship up in space.
Right, so then Jim sneaks back to the ship to get the real map.
Yeah, so him and Ben, after you know, they try to negotiate, him and John Silver, as far as, you know, using the map to make sure that they find the treasure, they stall. They try to stall as best they can. Ben essentially has like a back door in his house that he has. They sneak out. They steal the last remaining skiff.
Mm-hmm.
They end up back on the ship to try to disable its weapons and get the map.
Ben is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. But yeah, so they get back, and obviously Silver's already there waiting for them, and he takes the map. But of course he can't really read it.
Yeah, so he still needs
Jim.
He still needs Jim. But even if, say he did, right, this is a what if, right? It's a what if situation. Say he was able to figure out, I bet you he still would have found a way to keep Jim useful, you mm-hmm. know, to the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because again, the feels.
That makes sense. There's still that kind of like struggle of like, oh, I love this boy. I can't hurt him, but I need to find my treasure.
Yeah, because he's, you know, he's obsessed with it. He's mm-hmm. obsessed with it. So, but Jim essentially fires up the map again, and they follow this signal essentially mm-hmm. to a cliff, and everyone's kind of freaking out at first. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you know,
where is it,
what's going on here? And then one of the pirates, like, he takes like his pick, and he like, what is it, he like throws it on the ground mm-hmm. or something like that, and it makes like a, you know,
an indent
and in a noise mm-hmm. you know, like metal. And they're like, oh crap, you know, this planet
mm-hmm.
isn't actually a planet. It's not a, well, it's a planet for sure, but it's not like a,
but it's like a hold hard,
yeah,
it's, kind of, it's, entity.
It's a
machine.
A machine. Yeah, essentially. Pretty much, yeah but
they're able to find a portal using the map to be able to see exactly how Flint was able to go through the galaxy so fast.
Yeah. So the sphere was also a key to open up a portal that Captain Flint used to travel all over the universe, to include the center of the planet, which was where he kept his hoard.
And so they find it, but they end up accidentally triggering this kind of like, what would you call it? Alarm system?
It's a booby trap.
Yeah.
As they're going through the portal, there's like they broke a red laser that was spread across the portal entrance. You know, it didn't send off any alarms or anything like that. It just, as soon as they broke it, the booby trap started.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they're all in there, you know,
trying to get as much treasure as they can.
Know, they're just in there in awe and everything like that. You know, and then but Jim and Ben they see Captain Flint's ship kind of off to the left, and so Jim and Ben they end up on the ship because what Ben's planning on doing is he's trying to start the ship up to try to escape,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they find the body of Captain Flint,
mm-hmm.
and he's holding something.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding something. He's like, "Oh crap!" You know. Now Jim's like, "Hey, I found your memory," because mm-hmm. that's what Captain Flint did. That's how Ben lost his mm-hmm. His mind. Captain Flint just ripped it out of the back of mm-hmm. his head and went into his treasure, and then mm-hmm. I guess he just died mm-hmm. at some point. He just
Well, he'd rather die than to have anyone else take the treasure.
Yeah, have anybody else take the treasure.
Which, I mean, I get that, but yeah. if you're dead, it don't all matter.
That work. You go through all that work.
To save all this treasure.
The loot of 1,000 planets just kind of sit there and die. And that's die. Cool. That's
cool. Yeah. But anyway, the bombs are going off. The planet is obviously going to self-destruct. And they have to find a way out.
Yeah.
So Silver actually does end up helping them, and they're able to escape.
Mm. Well, yeah. So it comes a point as this, you know, the booby trap is set. The planet's essentially, you know, dying at this point. It's just gonna blow up. Silver, so all the treasure that was there on the inside, it's like all gone now.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's left is the treasure that was on Captain Flint's boat, because Jim was able to kind of get it going.
Mm-hmm.
And so there comes a point where, you know, Jim's about to fall into this liquid hot magma and and, you know, John Silver, you know, he has a hold of the ship as it's like floating away.
Mm-hmm.
And
he even extends his arm a little bit.
Yeah, he's extended his arm. He doesn't want to let go of the ship
full of treasure. Yes,
but he doesn't want Jim. He doesn't
want Jim to die. Yes,
but, you know. So now he makes, and then, but he has to make a choice. But he ends up, you know, choosing the kid.
Would you choose the kid?
What? Hell no. If I was silver, I'm a pirate. I am a pirate through and through.
No, I would not save his life. I probably would. I probably would save his life. Only because, you know, he seemed pretty cool.
Yeah, where's Ben? Where's Ben? Yeah, where's Ben at? Come on, man.
But anyway, they're able to go through the portal back to the moonport. Is that what they call it? Spaceport.
Yes.
The spaceport. They're able to get back there. Now, obviously, at this point, Captain Amelia wants Silver taken into custody
for the mutiny. Because he's a pirate.
He's a pirate and
she wants him to hang. But Jim, you know, well, there's a moment, right? There's a moment between Captain and Gilbert. And then, you know, John Silver kind of disappears into the shadows. But Jim knows exactly what he's trying to do and where he's at, and so he meets him on meets him down in the hull where the skiff is, and you know. But he decides he's gonna let John Silver go.
Would you let him go?
Would I let him go? If I was Jim, no, probably not.
I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
He let Mr. Arrow die, essentially, and he almost let everybody else die. So I don't know how I would be if, I don't know. Only because if I'm Jim at this point, Silver saved my life. So maybe I would only on the premise that it's a life for a life.
Yeah, see? At least a life for a
that's
life.
That's it. But after that, it's on.
Well, yeah, after that. Yeah, because
I ever find you again.
Yeah, because what ends up happening is that once they get back to the spaceport, back to the planet, Jim goes to the essentially a naval academy.
Naval academy. You know,
he becomes.
He cuts his hair.
Yeah, he cuts his hair, and now you know he's a civilized. Civilized. Gentleman now.
Yeah. Because hooligans with long hair.
Yeah.
Gotta put a stop to that.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe if
maybe was, they encountered.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There was a plan. I think at one point that they were planning to do a sequel to Treasure Planet and a TV show. That never happened.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool. So I am wondering, because
I don't know how well it did financially, and that's probably why they didn't continue it.
But I wonder why, because it's definitely an underrated movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it definitely did not do well. But I am curious. I wonder if it's more of the fact that, you know, it's a movie about space, but they have, you know, 15th, 16th century ships, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe that just wasn't.
That wasn't cool.
That wasn't cool in 2002.
I guess, but for me, I really liked it. And I think for me, it was just the fact that there was so much color in this movie that I really, really liked it.
Yeah, the visuals.
The visuals were so good. I love seeing how they're in space, but there's no need for oxygen. There's no need for.
You see that the sails get power through.
They do.
I mean, they're not like cloth sails.
They do have gravity control too.
Yeah, they have like gravity control. So even though it's here's this, you know, 16th century pirate ship. I mean, it is definitely futuristic in the way that it has artificial gravity. It has artificial. Atmosphere, and it has atmo. It has a gravity. You know, it's powered. It has engines. Mm-hmm. You know, that are powered essentially by sunlight, sun rays, and everything like that.
That's really cool.
So, you know, even though yes, it's kind of rudimentary. I don't know. That's the right word, but
oh, I don't know nothing about.
But
science.
It's definitely. You know, they definitely thought it out. Like, hey, how can we make this pirate ship still be a pirate ship, but in space? You know, and I thought they did a really cool, really, you know, I thought it was a really cool idea.
I thought so. And on the way out, Silver does give some gems to Jim.
Yeah, and that's how he was there. So his mom was able to
rebuild
the inn.
And it's like twice the size.
It's twice the size.
Of the original one. And I mean, I really like that touch, though, because if anybody's worked really, really hard, it's Jim's mom. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, single mom. See, that was something we didn't cover. His dad just up and left.
Oh, yeah, we get a montage, too. Like, we get in the story portion of it, in the montage, I think, we get flashbacks as to what happened to Jim's family.
Yeah, it's not your typical, you know, a parent dies. Right. That is definitely a Disney thing, is mm-hmm. that parents tend
parent
to
usually
just,
dies.
Just
usually
die
it's
off.
Always a queen.
Yeah, but
it's always like single king parent.
In this case, you know, Jim's dad was just a deadbeat.
mm-hmm. And just left. Just straight up left them. And I think that probably did have a big effect on why Jim acted the way he did.
Yeah.
Didn't have a father figure in his life. So he created one out of silver.
Yeah.
But also, Gilbert and Amelia get together.
Oh, yeah.
And have mixed babies.
There is a love story.
Now, also, Amelia looks like a cat. Are we just to assume that?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that she was a cat and he was a dog and they were attracted to each other like cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Because cats and dogs are attracted to each other.
Totally. Yep.
They were flirting the whole time, too. I picked up on it right away. Them flirting with each other. The fact that she was always giving him a hard time. But then, of course, him being able to be helpful because he's so smart.
Yes.
But, yeah. They end up having babies. And we see this, like, ending of a happy, you know, group of people at the inn dancing. And then fade to black.
And fade to black. Yep. Treasure Planet 2.
Right. Treasure Planet 2.
You know, I will say, you know, I'm always up in the air when it comes to...
sequels?
Not sequels. When it comes to remakes, right?
Remakes. You know? Okay.
But
Plus came and said, we're going to redo Treasure Planet.
I will say, I think Treasure Planet, especially with, you know, all the technology that we got now compared to like 2002, that would be an incredible live action movie.
I think it would be. I'm also really curious about how, if we could, since we can always go back when it comes to animation.
Uh-huh.
You know, we can't always go forward sometimes. What if we go back to that style of animation and do a TV show?
Yeah, a TV show would work.
But I just don't know that they would.
Live action
it would be
can
great.
Can you imagine live action Treasure Planet?
Woo! I mean, I already told you that the live action movie that I want to see is The Black Cauldron.
Yeah, that would be
that
good.
That is one I
want to
see.
But that's for another episode.
That's for another episode. We'll cover The Black Cauldron. But so one of the things that we wanted to do with this show is we wanted to do, you know, of course, ratings, how you would rate this particular movie, and who was the worst and who was the best.
Mm-hmm.
So should we do it out of five?
Out of five?
Out of five morphs?
Out of five morphs.
How many morphs would you give this?
Oh, I definitely think, you know. I'd give it like a 4.5.
I'd give it a 4.5 too.
Yeah, I'd give it a 4.5.
Because 5 would be perfect, and that is hard to come by.
Yeah, it's hard to come by. Yeah.
So who was the best?
Who was the best? I think John Silver was the best.
I think Ben was the best.
Ben, psh, no.
Ben was the best.
Ben was in there for like 5 seconds.
Ben was the best.
I really liked the way that they portrayed him, the way he sounded, mm-hmm. and everything like that. So
like the accent?
Yeah. His, you know, I think they really did him really good. So I think he was the best character as far, you know, out of all of them.
I think Ben was the best for me.
Ben.
Yes. Who was the worst?
The worst?
Who was the worst?
All right. So I would say the crew.
Okay.
The
whole
crew.
Collective, the crew.
Yeah, the
okay.
collective crew.
The collective crew. So you might not like this a whole bunch, but I think I'm going to put the worst as the captain,
the
Amelia,
captain. Why?
Because she hardly did anything.
Yeah, she did. She was the captain. She was doing the orders and all that other stuff.
She didn't do a very good job.
She didn't do a very good job. Oh, man.
Okay. So do you want to guess my movie?
What are we going to do next?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna do Atlantis.
No, because we're gonna trade off. You pick this one, so I pick the next one.
That's what? Yeah, that's what you asked, right?
Yeah, so you get to guess which one I chose.
Oh, I said Atlantis.
No.
Okay, I don't know.
It has a princess in it.
Well, that's like 99% of Disney.
There's an apple.
Oh, there's an apple. Oh, you're going to do Sleeping Beauty? Oh, no, wait.
Yes, I'm going to do Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
Listeners. Kevin doesn't know which movie has an apple.
No, which movie? Oh, no. Snow White.
So you got it.
There we go.
You got it. All right, well, this is the end. This covers the first episode of Kevo and Heidi's Disney Over Coffee. We'll get some more coffee.
Yeah, we'll definitely have more coffee next week.
Mm-hmm. All right, bye.